As we look forward to the 2023 general elections, security as a matter of interest still remains a huge concern, even as the country is still grappling with terrorism, kidnapping, and all sorts of criminalities. Where do we go from here? These and more on this week's episode of The Insider, where I had a chat with a security expert and consultant, Chief Rotimi Williams-Fadoju, discussing the way forward in addressing security concerns ahead of the 2023 general elections. Enjoy. Good day, sir. It's a pleasure to have you. Despite your busy schedule, it's well appreciated for you sharing your time on this episode of The Insider. The issue we're looking at is addressing security concerns ahead of the 2023 general elections. We all know that security is very important as far as elections is concerned. And looking at the level of voter apathy, which is mostly based on the excuse that the security is not conducive, the security condition is not conducive enough for people to come out and vote and all that. And despite speculation, because there's been speculations that concerning the 2023 general elections, and especially this year, which is also a pre-election year, that is 2022 being a pre-election year. As a matter of fact, the IGP sometime last year, in a meeting with some of police high chiefs, said that they would need to be careful with the speculation that 2022 might be quite security challenging and tensions all around. But starters, let's start with, as far as security is concerned in Nigeria, where are we currently?
Thank you. Using a yardstick to measure the level of our security in Nigeria, I think will be so unfair if that calculation is based on the performances of our security agents from the military to the paramilitary. Having said that, security is our responsibility as Nigerians and people that live in this country. So if there is a failure in the security architecture of any country, we all have a share in the blame. Because when you look at it, security people are not magicians. They are not robots. They are human beings like us. What makes them different is because of their training. Even forget about the uniform, is their training. The uniform is just to identify who they are when they are carrying out and operations. So in Nigeria, how serious do we take security as an ordinary citizen? How much information did we divulge to the security agents, the people that are whose responsibility is to carry out or effect or prevent any security breach? We all have a role to play. So if we are to assess our security based on the performance of the agents alone, I think it would be unfair. Nigerians and all the agents, we have to put hands on deck and make sure that we all play our parts accordingly. So that's just that.
As far as elections are concerned, especially general elections, where you have the governorship, where you have the presidential and everyone talking together, what should be the standard as far as security is concerned?
Thank you so much for asking that question. Let me be honest with you. The purpose of individuals going to seek for elective offices in Nigeria, when you look at it, they have different mission. Only few, and I repeat, only few has that mission to go and serve. Majority of our politicians in Nigeria have their own hidden agenda, not to go and serve, just to go and have a bit of their own national cake. And that is why it is always difficult and it's always violent when it comes to election years like this, because if the purpose of me going to any elective offices is just to serve, the first question I will ask myself is, does it worth it? Starting from the nomination form. Does it worth it, me spending millions to buy a nomination form? Does it worth it, me spending millions to buy another form that may be show of expression? And at the end of the day, does it worth it to spend millions of naira to seek elective office for as long as the purpose of me going there is to serve? But majority of our people, is they just going there to have their own share of the national cake, as they say. So that is why it's always violent. So they recruit, those that are going there just for the purpose of their own personal benefit and their cronies. They recruit. They will go to any length to purchase the form, even if it is 100 million. They will go to any length to purchase the expression form, even if it is 200 million. Because at the end of the day, if you put it together, if you look at it and you say, okay, if I'm going to serve for 4 years and maybe I'm going to be a governor, how much is the salary of a governor? per month. So when you multiply that, you realize that, look, there is a lot of differences, but their purpose is to share. And that is why their supporters will always go to any length to either destroy, maim, cause mayhem in order for their own candidate or who they support to get to that position at all costs. So there is always a security challenge, and the security challenge is beyond the capacity of our personnel now in Nigeria. Mm. It's beyond, yeah.
Why is that so?
Thank you. If you look at United Nations Charter, I think they said it's about, I think it's one officer per, is it 2,000 or maybe or less than 1,000 or whatever. In Nigeria, if you put together, let's look at the constitution imposed on the Nigerian police. They impose the power to supersede or to supervise our internal security affairs, look into our security affairs. The Nigerian army to protect Nigerians through our territorial borders for external aggressions. Now, in Nigeria today, we talk about a population of about 220 million. So if we are to talk about how many personnel do we actually need, how many policemen do we actually need, we will need nothing less than 4 million policemen to monitor our internal affairs and security. But how many policemen do we have today? Put together in Nigeria today, I can say it with all sense of sincerity that we have less than 500,000. And those 500,000 are divided between the 36 states and the federal capital territory. And look at other designates. You know how many policemen that are attached to one governor, the deputy governor? And so, I mean, when you now look at the maybe now we have about 300,000 policemen looking after 200 million Nigerians. How do you expect them to perform? They cannot. So the ratio is below par. Yes, thank God. I mean, I read recently that over the next few years, Nigerian government will be recruiting at least 10,000-20,000 policemen every year, at least just to make it up. So the manpower is low. So that is why you see there is no rocket science. A policeman can only do what a man can only do. I remember when we were young, there is this saying that four man is just a title. Four man, no man can do four man's job. A man, if you are given the title that you are the four man of a group, it is just a title. So no man can do four man's job. Four men will only do four men's job, and one man will do one job.
Looking at, you just made mention of manpower being low, but expectations are high that we might have increase on that. Why do we have this low turnout in police manpower in the first place?
Thank you so much. There are a lot of things attributed to that. Number one is this issue of not being given every Nigerians that opportunity that we are equal, equality. Not every Nigerian has that equality. So when you look at the recruitment process of Nigerian police of today, they have two cadres. They have those that they call the recruits, and they have those that they call the cadets. As you understand, if you go in for a recruit, by the time you finish your course, you come out as a constable, even if you are a master's degree holder. If you go in as a cadet with ordinary OND or HND, by the time you come out as a cadet inspector, a cadet ASP, right? Now, you can just imagine majority of those that are given that opportunity to be recruited as a cadet are people, I say it with all sense of sincerity, people that knows who they are, that can recommend that so-so person is from me. There is a quota. The others that doesn't have that opportunity are those people, even if you have a master's degree, you cannot, it's difficult for you to be picked as a recruit into the cadet level. So you will come in with your master's as an ordinary police officer. By the time you finish the distance, you are being given just a constable, all right? So maybe before you get to the level of an inspector, you're talking of 11 to 14 years. And somebody who has a lower educational qualification than you, because he knows somebody that says, oh, this is from me, and that person is recruited as a cadet inspector or cadet ASP, in another 11 years, he's around the rank of a superintendent or a chief superintendent of police.
So which means that the system in the first place has some irregularities.
Absolutely. I've always been an advocate of, look, give everybody that level field to perform. Don't just say that, oh, we recruit somebody. In the United Kingdom, there is nothing like that. Nothing like a cadet recruit or an ordinary. It is what you know that will promote you. And the beauty of it is that you can be in the force for 20 years and you will still maintain a rank of an inspector. But you'll probably be a professional, professional in one area, either professional in as a detective or professional as an investigator. So they don't look at rank, they look at what you do. And everybody is being given that respect. So unlike here, where we have these two levels of recruitment, that is the basic, that is number one problem with the recruitment process in Nigeria.
In your earlier statement, you made mention of how most people aspiring for political positions don't have it at the back of their mind to serve, which brings about the use of any force, which obviously tends to lead to a security breach and breakdown. Looking at the reality now, it looks more like that's our reality now. So what can be done? What can the government do, especially the government of this day, so that we can encourage people to come out and vote in the elections?
Thank you so much. It's a difficult question, and it is not something that is not doable. But the first thing is that our politicians, are they there to serve us? The purpose of going to elective offices, are they going there to serve? No, I don't see it that way. Majority of them goes there just to fulfill their own, or like I've said, just to share part of the national cake. And in order to address that, we can only get to that point where there will be less security challenge whenever there is election. We will get to that point if today that political office are made less attractive the way it is now. Until we make it less attractive, then we will now know genuinely the people that want to go and serve. We've been running democracy now, I'm sorry to say this, since 1999, uninterrupted. Since 1999, and if I'm not mistaken, it's well over 20 years now that we've been running democracy. Honestly speaking, have we, when I say we, majority of Nigerians, have we benefited the dividend of democracy? In my own opinion, I would say no. Because all the things that we point to in Nigeria today, majority of them, talk of the Third Mainland Bridge, the Murtala Mohammed International, all those things are product of the military. I'm not encouraging military incursions into our democracy. But when you look at the development, talk of the Third Niger Bridge or whatever, now we've had an uninterrupted democracy since 1999. What have we been hearing? Mismanagement of funds. A minister that runs away with billions of dollars. A minister that did this, a minister that does that. A governor that did this, a governor that... We have in this country a situation where a governor was indicted. And by the time he ran away from UK, he pretended to be a woman. We have a situation in this country where a governor, a civilian governor, was cleared in Nigeria because of the bureaucracy in our judicial system. That is another story for another day. And the same governor got to United Kingdom and convicted of the same offense with proof. So when we are talking, until we make that office less attractive in the United Kingdom, I stayed there, I worked there for years. You will take the same train, the same bus, the same on the ground with somebody, even a prime minister, because nothing for him to be scared of. He is not, nobody will even recognize him. Oh, you see him, oh, he's out. That is, do you know that person? Or maybe he's the members of parliament representing so district or whatever. So their office is less attractive, unlike here, where once you become a councillor, you give your title number one citizen of your domain. Once you are a governor, you are the number one citizen. Now your wife is number two or number one. She, no, until we make that office less attractive.
But sir, people have argued that it's because our democracy is still young and it's like we are still trying to get start on our feet, that's why we're still having this problem. What do you say to that?
Those that are saying that our democracy is still young, for how long are we going to nurture this our democracy before we start crawling? Yeah? Yes, people talk about America, 200 years old democracy. But when you sit down and ask yourself, I've been to America many times, you will see a structure, you will see a plan of 150 years ago. A plan of 150 years ago. If you go to UK, let me quickly say this, there is a tunnel that links the southeast with the eastern part of London. It's called Rotherhithe Tunnel. Google it. You will see the year that this idea came up.
Mm.
When they have this idea that, look, we need to put on this tunnel I'm talking about, you have River Thames on top. This tunnel was constructed underneath River Thames. It was commissioned, I think, 1914 or 1913. The idea was conceived around 1904.
Wow.
Or 1908.
Wow.
Do you understand me? You can Google it, Rotherhithe Tunnel.
Rotherhithe Tunnel.
Yes. If you go to London today from Jamaica Road and you want to link, maybe you're going to Stratford, you will have to go in through Rotherhithe Tunnel. That was a tunnel conceived by politicians 1908 or 1904, around that. And it was commissioned 1914 or 1914. Do you understand me? What plan do we have for Nigeria? Mm. That is my question. Mm. That our children yet unborn will refer to in another 100 years and say, oh, this was this, this was that. The cocoa house we point to today, that was conceived by Awolowo. How many years ago? So how long? Those people that are saying our democracy is still young, they are being myopic with the truth.
Thank you for that statement. Looking at the topic in perspective, elections. So, two major events have happened so far. We have the Ekiti elections coming soon and also elections coming soon. But there was one event that happened this year where the Nigerian army discovered a bunch of hoodlums with several guns on their way to Ekiti. Another thing happened in Osun about some days back where thugs attacked the campaign office of Ralph Arigbesola. Two major events. Could this be connected to the elections coming? And what should this, our security agencies be doing now with this sort of development?
Thank you so much. We all should bow our head in shame. And when I say we all, every Nigerians, both at home and in diaspora, why I say we should all bow our heads in shame is that firstly, those hoodlums that were arrested, about 100 and something of them, they were arrested by the military, the soldiers. It is not the responsibility or the constitutional duty of the soldiers. Where were the police? You understand?
Yes.
Where were the police? Why didn't the police arrest them? Now there is a lacuna in that security breach.
Yes.
Now, thank God, the army arrested them and handed them over to the police. Okay, fine. Now, you ask yourself again, I listened to the interview granted some of those people, what is their mission in Ekiti? Majority, if not all of them, left from Oyo State. Who funded them? Who paid for their transportation? Who gave them logistics? Those weapons that were found with them, who gave them? Where did they get it from? Even if it is pump action, where did they get it from? All right? But the most irony part of it, and I've said this, is that, look, we will only hear about all this noise. In another 2-3 weeks' time, this issue will die down. And the reason why it's going to die down is that somebody will call somebody that will call the IG. The IG will now give instructions to the CP. I'm being honest with you. And mark my word, in a month's time, majority of those people, we won't hear about this case anymore. Is this the first time?
Hmm.
What happens to the armed robbery case that happens in Kwara State years back, where some of these people came out and said, oh, that they were working for a prominent Nigerian, not as an armed robber, that a prominent Nigerian, a politician, gave them some arms when they were his political talks. What has happened to that? That is going to be the end. Okay, if you can remember, what level are we about the case of the NCDC, where a professor was invited to the Senate to come and explain, and he fainted. Since he fainted, the whole case fainted. I mean, so I won't be surprised. Now, when you now talk about how are we going to improve, we cannot improve our security when the morale of the agents are down.
Mm.
I've always been saying this.
Mm.
The morale of our security agents in Nigeria are down. Talk about the military, talk about the police. Are they well equipped? Are they well paid? Even when they have a good case to prosecute. These are things that boost your morale. You have a good case. You've got a suspect. And somebody will now call you and say, look, end that case.
Mm.
It will down your morale.
Mm.
So those are the things, particularly our politicians in Nigeria, they know each other. They know how to connect with each other. That is why I don't have nothing much to say than what I've just said about Ekiti.
Yes.
And when you now talk about Ralph Arigbesola, I have said it earlier on, if the interest of the Nigerian masses are what is so important to these politicians, why would Rauf Aregbesola, you were once a governor of Osun State.
No, his office was actually attacked.
I don't understand me. His office were attacked by who? We all know that Rauf Aregbesola and the sitting governor of Osun State now, they are not in good
terms.
I don't understand me. They belong to the same party, but different factions.
Hey.
This is the truth. So what did Rauf Aregbesola still want in Osun State? He was once a commissioner in Lagos State before he became governor of Osun State. He's now a minister. I'm not a politician, but I just believe it is a power tussle. Just like what we've been experiencing, what is happening in Kwara State by the Sarakis and whatever. So if there is no more to just ordinary serving our people, Rauf Aregbesola, the interest of the party and that of the sitting governor, the current governor, the interest of the masses should be their number one priority. Not attacking each other, not having factions, because they still belong to the same political party, but a broken home. That is the politics that we are experiencing in Nigeria.
You made mention of the morale of policemen as a result of people calling people to discharge cases. How can we then deal with the roots of the corruption as far as handling criminal cases is concerned?
Thank you so much. In Nigeria, we have two cadres of Nigerians, the high profile and the low profile. So unfortunately, majority, we all belong to the low cadres. As you understand me, majority of Nigerians belongs to the low cadres. That is why today, if somebody steals yam just to eat, he stole yams to feed his family, he probably spent the next 10 years in jail and he will still be on trial. And here, the same Nigeria, right? Somebody that stole 10 billion naira will probably, because he has the money to spend or to squander all, get a good lawyer, and there will be all this lacuna in the legal interpretation of his stealings or blah, 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 blah. So that alone kills morale. You understand? And when you look at it also, we talk about Nigerian police. Why? The question I've always been telling people, or I've been asking people, is that why is it that when our Nigerian military or paramilitary, why is it that whenever they travel out of the shore of Nigeria, they perform exceedingly well outside and they come home with laurels? Why can't they use the same sense? Why can't they use the same manner to operate in Nigeria? They cannot use it because there is limit, there is capping to their ability. If I am a police officer today and I arrest the son of a governor or a minister, even if that son of that minister or governor if I saw him committing a crime and I arrest him, within the next 2-3 hours, if I'm just an ordinary sergeant or inspector, a call will come from my DPO, because that governor or minister will have called a big man, one of my top boss, and that my boss will have called my CP, and the CP will have directed the area commander to call my DPO. My DPO will now say, don't you know the son of whom, or that guy that you arrest? In Nigeria, I've seen a case where a policeman is being ordered to apologize.
Wow.
Yes.
An officer of the law.
Yeah, an officer of the law to apologize to somebody, a suspect, all because of that suspect's connection, who happens to be the son of a big man in Nigeria. All those things kills morale. So a lot of things, if we start talking about what kills morale, what downs morale, even this issue of NSAS. Yes, I'm not in support of police brutality, but at the end of the day, during NSAS, we only talk about those people that were killed or people that were maimed during NSAS. Nobody talks much about the policemen that were killed during NSAS, this thing. So if I should have my colleague killed in Ibadan here in Oyo State, at Iwo Road, two officers were killed, burnt, and people eating their meat, eating their flesh. So if those officers were to be my colleagues and the way they were being treated, wouldn't that affect my morale? It will. What has the government done to assist the family? What has federal government...
And even to prosecute the people...
Those people, yes. What have they done? All those things, even by the time you keep them in jail, you want to see justice at the end of the day. But in Nigeria, before you get justice, the journey process is too long.
And the cost.
Absolutely. So when you cannot bear the cost, unlike in Europe or in overseas country, there's what they call legal aid. So even if you do not have that money, the government will support you to get justice at no extra cost. You get the best lawyer. Yes, they will even be funding it. Your lawyer will be taking money.
Wow.
The just from the legal aid. So those are things that keeps morale of officers at where it is presently.
Looking at politics in Nigeria, it's almost looking like when you see politics in Nigeria, and from everything you've discussed, it's looking like it's associated with thuggery and use of violence and all that. How should we now move here? What should be the next step, especially for civilians who want to vote but are skeptical about the security issues?
Yes, thank you. It is our civic responsibility to vote. And I am not in support of people selling their votes. And we, the masses, we should let all these politicians know that we are their employer. I've been saying it. No politician out there will do anything in Nigeria and get my praise. Not even the governor. If you lied, because before you come to the office, you must have known that you are coming to serve me.
Exactly.
And that is the reason why you asked me to vote for you.
Yes.
So the paraphernalia of that office, enjoy it. Do not deny me my own right. So if you do anything, maybe you construct my street or you reconstruct the road, don't expect me to praise you because you didn't call me. It is even my money. It is Nigerian money. It is our taxpayers' money. So that is number one. We should stop praising our politician or see them as Messiah. They are not our Messiah. They are not my Messiah. The last election, don't let me lie to you, I casted my vote for 3 different political parties. So I don't belong to no party. I would rather vote for integrity rather than just voting for one party because it is Kano party or it is gunpowder party or it is, what is it called? It is hockey party. No, I voted for people that are, okay, fine, I assess them. Despite the fact that there is no saint in Nigeria politicians, no saint amongst them. But at the end of the day, if we, the masses, if we inculcate that idea, letting our politicians know that we are their employer and we stop praising them, it is only in Nigeria that a politician will come and commission a borehole and the whole community will come up with Asho Ofi or come up with Asho Ebi just because they want to come in and be celebrating. That is increasing the ego of that politician. It is, what did you want me to, why did you ask me? I have voted for you. I spent hours in the sun casting my vote. You didn't reward me for that. So the reward, what made me to cast my vote is because I want a borehole. I want a street light. I want a secured environment. So the masses should always channel their grievances to the politicians and let them know, if you do not hearken or do what we ask you to, we still have the power. Only we don't exercise it. Nigeria has the power to recall their representative for not doing what is expected of him. If we start using that power, we will have better governance.
And 2 things, because we are running out of time. For these 6 geopolitical zones, it's like everyone has their own security challenges one way or the other. Right now in the Southeast, there's this argument between who is disturbing who, whether the ESN, the Ibobiago, the IPOB, and all that, of which, and the last Anambra election, INEC blamed blamed IPOB for the low turnout of people come out to vote because of this no business day, no, don't come out, sit at home order. And over here in Southwest, we have this issue of kidnapping, armed robbery, and all that. And in the North, we are everywhere. It's obvious, the banditry and all that. What then should be the focus right now as far as building a strong security architecture ahead of 2023 general elections?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's a very good question. But firstly, why do we have these security challenges all around the seas geopolitical? Where we have kidnapping is different from where we have bunkering. Where we have bunkering is different from the Boko Haram issue or insurgency and all that. Why? Now, if we are going to address insecurity in Nigeria, we must first of all address the root cause. Why do we have this? And when you look at it, majority, particularly the southern part of Nigeria, it is as a result of agitations. We see ourselves being marginalized. This area or this region, we discovered, or maybe we felt that we are being marginalized. And I keep saying this, Nigeria, we are more than 200 million populations in terms of population. The security of Nigeria should be divided, should be devolved. If we are talking about this revolution, let's carry out this revolution in terms of our security. a situation where an inspector general of police, one man, will sit down in Abuja. The commissioner of police in Oyo State or in Lagos State cannot carry out a major operation without the final order from the inspector general does not work. But if we devolve, like we have regional police, I am not in support of state police. But I said regional police. Yeah. Do you understand me? The Southwest is one region. Let us have police for that region, headed by maybe one DIG. And we have all others. I have said it many times. Now, we know who is who in our area. We know the Yoruba people, we say Omotani Wonshi. We know who this person is. Moving somebody from Gombe command to come and police or your state cannot work. Will not be fruitful result. But if we have regional police, the least is you can move somebody from Ibadan or your state, maybe to Ondo State, from Ondo State, maybe to Lagos State. We still know the terrain. You understand what I'm saying? So all this is the reason why we need to sit down and define an architecture in terms of our security. The kind of architecture we have presently is not working, and we cannot make it work by continuing doing the same thing. We cannot be doing the same thing and expect a different result. I am not a prophet of doom. Things will continue to get worse in terms of security, not only because politicians are out there to spoil things. No, but things will continue to get worse because we have these idle youths doing nothing. Mm. And they want to. I remember when we were young, this adage, a fool at 40 is a fool forever. Now, a fool at 50 is no longer a fool forever, because a young man at the age of 40, thousands, if not millions of them are out there. They don't have no job. They don't have no home. They don't have no wife. They cannot even marry because they don't have no future. And every year, their ages increases from 35, 37, 38, 39. So by the time you realize, they are 40. So these are the things, some of the things that we need to address. Politics, this is an opportunity. Let me also grab my own share of the national cake. That is why they render themselves to do all these charity jobs. Let Nigerian government, let our politicians, let them sit down, members of the House of Rep, members of Senate, let there be law that will give power to each region to secure its own territory, its own area. You will see that crime will be reduced.
On the final note, what should citizens do at this time, 2022 being a pre-election year?
Thank you so much. We have a role. Nigeria belongs to all of us. We should not fold our hands. But the first thing we need to do as citizens is to carry out the message, speak the message to those minorities that are not law-abiding, young men and women that are stockpiling arms now to destroy. Let us tell them, let us talk to them. They are children of some people. Their parents know them. Their friends know them. Their girlfriends know them. Their boyfriends know them. Let us start from there. Let us start telling them that whatever we destroy belongs to us. So don't let us destroy. Do you understand? That is where we will start from, in the church, in the mosque, wherever social gathering. Let us start preaching now that, look, whatever we destroy belongs to Nigeria. So don't let us destroy. Let us go for the best. I believe that we have the best. I believe that we have people that can help us steer the ship of this nation to our promised land. So don't let us just follow money bags. Don't let us follow people that will share dollar, people that will give us rights. Because at the end of the day, all they want is your vote by selling your right. Don't sell your right. You talk about security. Whenever we go out now, let us be very, very mindful of where we go. Let us be mindful of our security, because the truth of the matter is that your security is in your hand. That is just it.
Chief Fadoju, thank you very much, sir. Thank you so, so much for sharing this time. I've taken one or two myself, and I hope that the listeners will take it and do well with it. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Thank you for joining in again this week, and I hope you had a good time. Please ensure to subscribe to this channel from wherever you listen to podcasts. Special thanks to my sound engineer, Tom Lucky Media. Till I come your way next time, stay lifted.